Well, it is a cold Sunday morning here on Robin Hood Radio and throughout the tri-state region, and we do have a winter storm warning in effect for our immediate tri-state region beginning later on tonight into Monday. But let's dispense of those activities and talk about Sporting a Cause. SportingACause.com, a website hosted by Willie Hallahan, features lots of different events that are coming up that happen, and they are all sporting events, but they're also fundraisers. But I have a feeling this morning we'll talk a little bit more about what's going on at Sagerie Hill as well. Good morning, Willie.
Yes, good morning, Marshall. Yes, you're so prescient. in this cold, January morning, this morning as we speak, the kids are just gathering for the SWASA jump camp. We had a postponement, and, this is a perfect example of the vagaries of winter weather in New England. 2 weeks ago, January 1st and 2nd, New Year's Day and the 2nd, we were supposed to have our two-day jump camp. We had to postpone it because it was 50 degrees and raining on January 1st. So we postponed it to this weekend. And yesterday on Saturday, we had to cancel the Saturday because it was zero and windy. And so anyway, weather in New England, right? Anyway, the jump camp is going on this morning. For anybody who's just hearing this, they can just show up. It only runs from 9 to 2. But what I want to make sure everybody knows is if you have a child who's interested in ski jumping but they couldn't make it for one reason or another to this two-day clinic, it's not a prerequisite for jumping. They can come anytime. The kids are going to be from here on out. They started a couple weeks ago. They jump and practice three times a week, a couple days during the week in the early evening. I think it's like 5 to 7, and then on a Saturday afternoon. And they can join in anytime they want. They can hop in anytime during the season. If you want to find out more about it or to sign up, you just email info@jumpfest.org. That's info@jumpfest.org. And Kenny Barker, our president, will get back to you and tell you what you need to do. You need to have a helmet and so forth. But anyway, everybody's welcome. Typically, 7-year-olds on up. Are the ages we want to start with, and have a lot of fun. They jump under the lights in the evening. It's very cool. And so, again, if you missed today's jump camp, then don't worry about it. There's plenty of time. And they'll keep jumping pretty much as long as the weather and snow conditions allow. You never know. It could be April or it could be March when it turns to summer. But anyway, as long as we can do it, the kids will be jumping. And plus, they can get to travel to places like Lake Placid if they want to for little competitions against other 7-year-olds. It's very cool. That's up to them. But all kinds of options open to you if your child wants to jump. Now, for the most part, Marshall, from this time of year, say mid-January to the end of February, about the only things going on are ski jumping and curling. I've said this before, but I think it bears repeating that in this area we have two very, very unique sports this time of year, curling and ski jumping. In curling, we have the Norfolk Curling Club. It's one of only two curling facilities in Connecticut. There's one down in Bridgeport. And even in the surrounding area, there are not many. There's four or five up in the Worcester area in Massachusetts. There's some down near the city in New York. But, by and large, there aren't many places to view this sport. And it's a very cool sport. I've tried it myself. I'll talk more about that in a minute. And, of course, ski jumping is rare, too. There's only – Salisbury is one of like a half a dozen left in the east. So, and these two facilities are about half an hour apart. So if you're looking for something to do in the wintertime, these are great places to go. I'm bringing up curling because we have a couple of Bondspiels. That's what they call their competitions. Going on. One is actually, we're in the midst of it right now. There's been two already. We're in the middle of one this weekend. It wraps up today. Typically, they run 4 days. They're 20-person teams, four-person 20 teams that compete in these Bondspiels. They come from all over, and They're typically 4 days, Thursday through Sunday, and they're open to the public. I talk about them a lot because they're, the opportunity isn't there for a person around here, just an everyday person, to go and compete. It's not like a golf tournament where you hear about a tournament, you get, grab three of your buddies and make a foursome and go play. You don't do that in curling. You have to know what you're doing. You have to have played for some length of time. You have to be competent to get into a competition. So the fundraiser nature of it is that these teams pony up $400 a team to play, and the proceeds go to the Norfolk Curling Center because they tour a nonprofit and it helps them pay their expenses. But the reason I talk about it is it's a great sport to go and watch. Again, they're typically 4 days long. They curl on a Thursday and a Friday. At least one of them is in the evening, and then Saturday and Sunday. And the Norfolk Curling Club's facilities in Norfolk are great. I mean, they rebuilt after their fire a number of years ago. They built a great place. You can go in. They got a lounge area there with a big stone fireplace. The viewing area is elevated, so you look down on the curling action. You look through glass, sort of like at a hockey game. There's a snack bar there where you can get a light lunch and beverages. And there are always people there who are either competitors or they're just club members who are more than willing to tell you what's going on. I mean, they're great promoters of their sport. So in the action, you know, in curling, it's, I guess if you had to compare it to anything, and it's not really a fair comparison, you say it's like shuffleboard. But it's far, far more nuanced than that. And some of the actions, are, you might wonder what in the heck's going on. So there are always plenty of people there that are more than willing to let you know. And the best part about all this is it's free. You can go there during a bond spiel for free, take in all the action. And, you know, this time of year, if it's a Saturday afternoon or a Sunday afternoon, there's nothing going on, you can pack up the kids and go and watch for free and learn something. And you might get engaged by it enough so that you might want to try it yourself. And I'll tell you about that opportunity in a minute. But I just wanted to tell you about a couple of upcoming bond spiels. There is the Icebox Open coming up. And that's the 28th and 30th. That's one of the shorter ones. And then there's the Women's Winter Wonderland Bond Spiel. That's February 17th through the 20th. And again, you can find out the details on my website, and there are also links back to the Norfolk Curling Center to get all the details, times, and so forth. Now, another aspect of this applies both to curling and to ski jumping, is that when there's a winter Olympics going on, it has great meaning for local winter sports. Now, you might remember Marshall, several Winter Olympics ago. It could have been 15 years ago or more, I'm not quite sure. There was a Winter Olympics where the television stations decided that they're going to show a lot of curling. I remember myself turning on the TV expecting to see downhill skiing or whatever, and there's a curling match going on. I said, what the heck is this? And it seemed like no matter when you turned on the TV on an Olympic station, you're seeing curling. Well, at the Norfolk Curling Club, every fall before their season starts and every spring right after it ends, they would hold an open house to let people know what they were doing. They'd hand out some information. They'd talk about the sport, and then they'd get down on the ice, whoever wanted to, and give it a try. Typically, they get 12 people in the fall and in the spring. Well, the spring after this Olympics, 200 people showed up, and they didn't know what to do. They were scrambling to make copies, and there was no way they could handle getting that number of people on the ice. People traveled from Danbury and points further away, so they extended their open house season for a full month so that anybody who wanted to could get a chance to get on the ice and try it, and I was one of them. I did it. But that just gives you an idea of the influence that the Olympics can have on local sports. The same thing happens in ski jumping. On an Olympic year, we have a much higher visitor rate than on a non-Olympic year.
You mentioned that year. How about the year we did well in the curling and actually won medal?
That's right. Last Olympics, the U.S. men's, I'm glad you brought that up, the U.S. men's team, curling team, won the gold medal. I mean, it was unprecedented. It was really the curling version of the 1980 Olympics when the U.S. hockey team beat Russia. And the curling team did it in dramatic fashion. I mean, they beat Sweden, which was the favored to win, almost at the end of the final match. So there was high drama, totally unexpected, and it was huge for the curling world. I couldn't tell you numbers. I'm not sure there any are even known, but it had to have increased the interest in the sport. Whenever we have a success, whenever the United States has success in a sport, it has a trickle down effect later on. It increases the interest in those particular sports. So it had to have done that in curling. I know one of the four members of the team, I don't know if it was a captain, he kind of put his job on hiatus and took a goodwill tour around the United States. He visited every Bonspiel in the United States and talked to the people. I'm sure he came to Norfolk. I'm sure he had his gold medal with him. Anyway, it was a huge, huge deal for the sport. We'll see if the same thing happens here. And we'll be looking to see if it helps ski jumping, too. As I said, that year, when there was so much added interest, myself included, I got on the ice. I got a chance to do it. And I have to tell you, if you look at the sport, it's an odd sport. Let's face it. It's an easy sport to learn. but a difficult sport to get good at. I would liken it to probably chess, where you can learn the moves and everything in relatively short order, but then spend the rest of your life trying to get good at it. I'm going to explain just one aspect of the sport that I did and felt, really enjoyed, and that's when you deliver the stone. That's what they call it. You've seen pictures of them. The person is pushing the stone down the ice, and then other people take over and everything. But that act is probably one of the most graceful motions in sports. I would say it borders on the sublime. And what you do is, first of all, the ice, of course, is very slippery. It has to be. But what people might not know is it's been made more slippery because they sprinkle that ice with water, so there ends up with these little beads of ice on top of the ice. And what that means is when something's moving across the surface, it's moving across the tops of these little beads of ice, so there's even less friction than if it was just ice. And on top of that, to make it even more slippery, the person who is delivering the stone, one of the soles of their shoes is Teflon. So you have Teflon sliding across the tops of these ice beads, and it's probably the most slippery surface on Earth. The person who is delivering the stone pushes off of a block. I liken it to a starter block for a sprinter, that they push off of, and you have to have it on this ice because it's so slippery. And they push off, they're holding the stone. The stone's a 46-pound piece of granite that's been carved into a circle and polished, and it's got a handle on the top. I think there's only one place in the world they get this granite from. I think it's an island in Scotland. Anyway, you push off of that block holding the stone, you're pushing the stone, and you stretch into almost an elongated genuflection position, and you're sliding along the ice very easily because there's no friction, and almost like slow motion, and then you just let go of the stone. You don't push it or anything, you're both moving along the ice, and you let go of the stone, and you slowly drift to a stop, and the stone keeps on going, and then other people take over. They're sweeping or whatever to manipulate the direction of the stone however they want it. But anyway, it is truly a wonderful experience. And I would suggest anybody who has any interest at all to take advantage of it. Go watch a Bondspiel if you can, just to get the feel for the sport. And then in the spring, as always, they have some sort of open house, and maybe sign up and give it a try. I strongly suggest it. And that's pretty much it, Marshall. I'll be talking in the next few weeks about ski jumping. We've got a busy, you know, our busiest year. Every 5 years, we have not only Jump Fest, which this year is the 11th through the 13th of February, but then nine days later, we're hosting the Junior Nationals, which is a national event. The best jumpers in the country are coming to Salisbury for 5 days of competition, which is going to include both ski jumping and cross-country ski racing at Mohawk Ski Area, which is our partner in the JNs. So there'll be a lot to talk about. I'll be talking about it ad nauseum, unfortunately, but there's so much going on. It's a really exciting time. The Winter Olympics are going on, so there's going to be enhanced interest because of that. So let's pray for good weather, not too cold, but not too warm either, and we're hoping for a successful February.
And I'm just going to jump in and say I think that curling is the ice version of bocce ball.
Sure, there you go. Yeah. And the other thing I didn't mention is there are very few physical barriers to the sport. I mean, it's very easy. It's not stressful or anything. You have to be careful on the ice. As I said, it's very slippery. But they even teach wheelchair-bound people to curl. So, you know, just about anybody can do it. Like I say, it's easy to learn. You spend the rest of your life trying to get good at it, like chess. But it's a fun sport, and someone once told me that the way to survive winter is to participate in it. And if you're not into snowshoeing or skiing or skating outdoors, curling might be the answer. So I'm a big cheerleader for the sport.
I'll stay warm out there today, Willie.
Okay, I'll try, Marshall. Thank you so much.
Take care.
Willie
Hallahan, Sporting a Cause. Once again, the website is sportingacause.com.